How's it going, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Hoop Jack Podcast Series. And if you are listening, Happy New Year's to you. It is our last episode of the year. And joining me for my last episode is my man, Connor. Connor, how you been, my man?
Tyler, I've been well. Thank you for asking. I am delighted to be back on the show. And I can't believe another year has already passed. But happy to make it to another year, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. With 2022 coming to an end, 2023 is right around the corner. And one of the sad things that's leaving 2022 and just hearing about this is East Bay Magazine. So if you don't know what East Bay is, if you're the younger generation who didn't grow up with, you know, all the hard copies, magazines and everything like that, and us kind of almost the same, but we still had, like, you know, we were still early in the technology age, was a magazine called East Bay, where you wanted the latest in sneakers and you wanted the newest, like, sneaker out there, whether it's the Jordans, the Pippins, the Shaqs, you know, the AIs. That was the magazine to go to. And at the end of this year, they are closing shop. They are ending. So what stinks is this kind of reminds me of And One, where And One was so popular and it came to, like, an immediate end. And I think just because with the technology these days and everything being online, it's hard for East Bay to compete. But East Bay is still a big shoe brand. How does that kind of make you feel that, you know, everything's now going online and it kind of could get, and, you know, with everything like that?
Yeah, absolutely, Tim. I do think this revolves around kind of how everything is nowadays with the advancements in our lifetime with technology and whatnot. And now this, it's kind of like East Bay has gone to the wayside almost, for how prominent it was when it, you know, came about back in, I guess, like 1980s, when it really started going, and how important it was historically, especially for people, you know, that didn't live in, like, major cities. Might not have had access to all the big brands, but East Bay provided something for those people who really loved sneakers, love hoops. You know, it gave them a chance to stay involved and feel like they were right there. They were part of everything, the culture that was going on with regards to that.
Easy access to buy shoes.
Like, yeah.
Easier to call up. Granted, you might have had to wait a little while, but you were going to get the shoe, like, regardless. And with nowadays, and I've seen this with even some, not even just shoes, but big purchases. Like, for instance, when the PS5 came out, that went out of stock in a minute, maybe even less than a minute. And you also have to deal with people who are online hackers. They use bots to get your spot right away and everything like that. So technology has its perks, but it has a disadvantage with other people buying, like, however so many and then trying to rip you off to resell it.
100%. Yeah, it's become something like everyone's trying to cheat the system a little bit. And I do miss when it was just simple, you know. And that's what I like about historically in the past. You know, everything was more simple. I feel like in today's day and age, overall, with all the social media is great and all the ways you can communicate with people, I think that's awesome, but it also makes life more complicated and that causes more problems, and even that can expand into the realm of politics or religion or anything that causes dissent among people. Is just, there's so many groups out there now that people associate themselves with these groups just to, you know, be a part of something, and it just, like I said, it makes things way more intricate, and people are trying to keep up with everything, and it's just too much to keep up with.
Absolutely. And with kind of the closing of East Bay, and I brought up And One because that was a big basketball brand, you know, a lot of these doors are closing, and when they are directing their attention, they're also looking at layoffs, and they're also looking at, you know, Champ Sports, which is another big shoe brand, kind of athletic brand that kind of distributes everything like that, could be facing layoffs in late January. And then the official center for East Bay will close in April. What I'm thinking is, are there going to be any other big brands like that left when, you know, we have kids, like, to remind them of what the time was and how, you know, just simpler it was?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, like legacy, passing it down generation to generation. And for me, like you alluded to, I don't even think so many people from our generation probably know too much about East Bay. I'm sure they've heard of it, but just it's all historically relative. Like for the people that lived in that time period, and how much they probably cherished East Bay and how close it is to them, like just for their lives, you know, it's something you can look back in time and you can associate certain things with that time of your life. And East Bay is one of those, you know, because it was so big and it was such a way to unite like people who love sneakers and hoopers alike. So I'm definitely sad about it. I can't say I'm as emotionally invested as I know some other people might be, but it was something that took me by surprise to see. But that's how life's going now. It's just new things are coming in, and it can overshadow older businesses or whatnot.
Absolutely, and time will tell what'll happen for the future. But you know, East Bay had a great run. You know, 42 years on the market, and I think with technology advancing, social media advancing, it kind of just died down.
Yeah, definitely.
And so moving forward, kind of getting with the end of the decade, we're heading towards, you know, the halfway mark of the NBA season. And it's interesting to see all first-team NBA selections over the last, like, 9-10 years, and just seeing the difference in the quality of players that have come through. My question to you is, who do you think from 2013 – to 2022, since we don't know 2023 yet until the end of the year, which five guys from the first team All-NBA team do you think was the most dominant?
Yeah, I definitely, when you pose that question, there's probably a lot of answers you can defend. So a lot of right answers floating around, but kind of my preference, and I was perusing these teams as I know you were, I'm going to go back to the 2017-2018 season for my first all-decade team. And that was, you had LeBron James as a small forward, Kevin Durant, Kevin would be the small forward, LeBron would be a power forward, I guess, Anthony Davis at center, James Harden when he was playing for the Rockets, and then Dame Lillard. And personally, I follow basketball more intensely actually when I was younger. So now I liked some of those 2000s teams. But when I'm looking at this team, I just remember from that year, one, Damian Lillard, I think that's when he had one of his first like all-time great seasons, and congrats to him for being the all-time franchise leading scorer for the Blazers most recently. And he's just a guy I love to watch play. He really is. He's just a badass on the court. He hasn't had the best supporting cast all the time, and they haven't had the playoff success, but just a guy who's a gamer. And same thing with Harden. Harden just makes scoring look so easy. And then I think between Davis, Durant, and James, it's hard to argue against those three guys. Just size, physicality, skills. Dave, you know, in today's league, you have to be able to shoot the ball, and all those guys can shoot it. LeBron might not be a pure shooter for his position, but he can, you know, he's still improved over the years, his jump shot. And Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis, for their size, might be two of the purest shooters ever. I mean, maybe not up there with Larry Bird, but nobody can touch Larry Legend in my mind. So I would stick with those guys. And that was when Kevin was playing for the Warriors. So I think everything was easier for him because he had less pressure, and he it opened up his game more, and because he had Steph and Clay and Draymond just playing really hard. And Davis was on the Pelicans at that time, and he was obviously their guy. So that's where I would lean with my first team.
I think that's a great pick. Like you said, Damian Lillard had probably one of the best that you could see from a guard playing in Portland at that time. James Harden was still rocking it with Houston, and he was balling out. LeBron's still playing like he is today.
Yeah.
And Durant, you know, having been put out there villain for leaving OKC to go to the Warriors, left a chip on his shoulder, but he was still playing like he may not have been the star of that team, but he was still playing like he normally plays. Mm-hmm. And Anthony Davis was still up and coming, you know, still trying to work things out, and he was still with the Pelicans at that time. He was still young.
Yeah, still exactly. Working.
I think mine would be the 2015-2016 first team All-NBA. Not much is different from at least a power forward standpoint, where you still have LeBron. He's the only one who has remained on that roster. You're looking at a unanimous MVP Steph Curry on that team, a walking triple-double Russell Westbrook, a really great Kawhi Leonard, and then what would have been still a high flyer DeAndre Jordan. When Steph had that unanimous MVP year, 73 wins is not even, like, that was great. Like, you couldn't even write that up. But it's also the fact that LeBron came back from 3-1 to beat them was still amazing in its of its own. Russell Westbrook was the only one left, almost the only one left in that on that team in OKC, pretty much. I mean, Durant kind of nearly checked out. Harden had already checked out.
Yeah.
Point. And Kawhi would have still have been on that, would have still been on that Spurs team, wasn't he? He would have still been.
Yeah, he was.
He would have still been in San Antonio, and he was still the only lethal threat on that team at that time. Everyone else had pretty much retired. And DeAndre Jordan, you know, had he used his size properly, he still would be a walking dunk machine. In 2016, he was still putting up good numbers.
Yeah. But
at that point, nobody could stop Steph. And Russell Westbrook was playing like what Ja Morant is now as a dunker. And he would go to the basket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Forget about that. He was still – Russell Westbrook back then was still a high flyer.
Definitely. I think that was a choice I looked at as well. Actually, the only thing that steered me away was DeAndre Jordan.
The big man position could have been, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to look at a big man position now because I think when you look at over the years, you know, you go back to 2013, the big man was Tim Duncan. Mm-hmm. And then it was Joakim Noah, who had an outstanding year in Chicago. 15, yeah. Mark Gasol and that Memphis team that was strong. Mm-hmm. 16 was Jordan, 17 was Davis, 18 was Davis, 19, then 21 and 22 are Jokic.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Later years, you look at what now is at 2022 with Luka and Booker, Tatum, Antetokounmpo, and Jokic. That's a great team. But I think when you go back to what the NBA had not even 10 years ago, you're looking at the talent that there was and a different era that it was too. I think these guys can compete, but then can they survive, say, a like 5 or 3-game series, just the 5-on-5?
Definitely.
And it'd be close. But I think, you know, 2018, that group was great. In 2016, that group was great. And I think it'd be close.
Yeah, I think you might have the better choice because you're right about the guys you picked had pretty much their career seasons, like Curry, Westbrook. Kawhi was still so dominant. He kind of has that Michael Jordan.
Kawhi led that defensive stronghold.
He was the claw.
He was that defense that you wanted to have on that team.
Definitely. Yeah, I think you might get me unless we just feed Davis every time. Let him cook Jordan. You feed
Davis, and I think at Davis at that point he was still working on his three. He was still trying to get up there with his three, but he was still a double-double big man.
Yeah.
And then with 2022 coming to an end, we've had some takes over this past year, some of the season, some of all time. But I looked at some of these earlier that were just interesting, of some of the hot takes that people have said over the years, and says there's some including that there is no asterisk on the Lakers 2020 title when they played in the bubble, which is interesting. I think a lot of people give that as an asterisk because that's not a real title.
Yeah.
Tim Duncan was the best player of his era. And I think, ooh, that's tough. That's really tough. I think he was the best big man in his era. I think he was Mr. Fundamentals. He was great.
Mm-hmm.
The best player? That's tough.
Yeah, Tim didn't have the explosiveness like some other guys.
He had the big man capability of what you wanted from a big man. He was the leader of that team. He did everything by the book. Pop loved him. I think he was great. I just don't think he was the best player of his era.
Agreed.
Dirk Nowitzki is better than Kevin Garnett, and it's not even close. I can't live with that. Kevin Garnett was a beast.
Yeah, that one's tough.
That Dirk was great, but Kevin Garnett was a beast.
KG's got a championship too. Yeah, so they both do, but I think everybody remembers Dirk championship because he beat LeBron. But I mean, Kevin Garnett and the Big Three took out Kobe, so that's pretty tough as well.
Charlotte should have kept the name Bobcats.
Actually, I like the Bobcats. I like the Bobcats. But they were a terrible team.
The Hornets just remind me of Charlotte so much because that's what they were originally were the Charlotte Hornets. I think when you associate the Bobcats, you think of the worst record in NBA history. That's the only thing I can think of. When you name Bobcats, you give me the worst record in NBA history. And I'm gonna remind people, for those of you who are not aware, that the Bobcats had the worst record in NBA history. I think they only won like 10 games that year.
Yeah, when I think Bobcats, I think actually LeBron had messed up his nose, and he was wearing one of those nose guards, these black nose guards, playing for the Heat, and he put like 65 on the Bobcats. And I think the Bobcats leading guy was that dude Josh McRoberts. Like, he was their star player. And that was kind of fun.
Do you want to hear? So how many wins do you think that Bobcats team had? Just throwing it as a first record in the NBA.
I'll give them 13 wins on the year.
13 wins. Divided by half, you pretty much have it. They had 7.
Wow.
They were 7-59 that year.
Yeah.
Worst record of all time. The only one that they beat was it was a Philadelphia 76ers team, but I think that goes way back. Let's see, I can find it right here.
That's tough to defend, man.
It is tough to defend. Let's see, it was the 1973 Philadelphia 76ers, so I mean, you're closing in, but that 2012 Bobcats team, and the thing is who they had on their team. They had a rookie Kemba Walker on that team.
Yeah, they Kemba. Cardiac Kemba.
The rookie on that team. I think he started every game, too.
Yeah, he was just hucking up shots, man.
I'm just looking at the numbers. They ended the season on a 23-game losing streak and might have the worst offense ever, only scoring 87 points per game. The head coach, Paul Silas, started 14 different players. Out of the 14 starters, only one managed a field goal percentage over 50%. It was Derrick Brown at 52%. He was the only one. They had the worst. The Thunder with 13 players were just above them, above 50% in field goal percentage.
That's sad.
In the end, Charlotte fans didn't have to suffer. After only one more down year, the Bobcats made the playoffs in 2014, losing the first round. but I could imagine being on that team and going out to every game. I can't even know if there were actually fans there.
Yeah.
That would have been insane.
For the other team, yeah.
Yeah, they were for the other team, not there. But I think the hardest, if I were to come up with the hardest take of all time, I'd have to say that of all-time players, I think my hot take will be at the end of his career, LeBron will pass Michael as the greatest of all time. Because if LeBron is able to pass Kareem in all points, even Dirk said it's going to be hard to defend at that point. You can't defend it at that point because LeBron's already passed Michael in points.
Yeah.
He might not have enough. He's, you know, done so much.
Mm-hmm.
What else could he do? If he passes Kareem in points, that's it. I think you just got to put it out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, LeBron, he'll have the numbers over Jordan. He won't have the championships unless some kind of miracle happens. But I always took Michael just because it's stuff that you can't really explain, but you can see it, you know, just the way he approaches the game and when he's on the court. I know LeBron's one of the best passers of all time, and Jordan isn't like that. He probably could, you know, pass really well, but just his ability to take over games, and they always say the basketball assassin. That's Michael Jordan, and it's just a competitive gene that I think is just so strong. It emanates more than any other player that I've ever seen. And I didn't even watch him live or anything on TV, but I watched obviously that documentary, and that was supposed to help him, of course, like kind of bring to light what he did. But it was just crazy to get a glimpse inside his mind.
Right. And speaking of Jordan, the other hot take that I missed was Jordan couldn't do it without Scottie.
It's stupid.
I think it makes, I mean, I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying you can't do it by yourself.
You're right. Yeah.
But we had Shaq and then he had Gasol.
Mm-hmm. Kyrie. Wow.
Like, it's yin and yang. Like, you gotta have, it just can't be you.
It's a team sport.
I've never seen one title where it was just one guy. I've never seen it.
Oh yeah, somebody's got to step up and fill that second role.
To be honest, when you look at that Toronto championship, Kawhi couldn't do it without Fred VanVleet.
Freddie had not shot out.
The way that he did, VanVleet was on fire from three. Had he not shot the way that he did, Toronto would not have won that title. Lowry did the best that he could, but Fred VanVleet was shooting the lights out of everybody.
Yeah.
Close. So, it's just interesting. But that's my hot take. And then, I mean, do you have one that would, you know, raise some eyebrows?
I guess just to, as like an interlude into our next topic, would be just when I just remember seeing so many NBA sports talk shows where certain analysts would say Luka wasn't going to be able to transition to the league or wasn't going to be as good as advertised, and you've seen how that's gone to the wayside. looks more like a cold take now. Yeah,
we're gonna talk about here after this, guys. We'll be right back with more on the NBA as well as what we want to see in 2023. And if we have more to talk about, we'll go through that. But stay tuned. And we're back, guys. So right before the break, we were talking about Luka and how a lot of people kind of thought he wasn't going to dominate. Well, he became the first NBA player in history to score 60, 20, and 10. That's right. 60 points, 20 rebounds, and 10 assists in a game, in a comeback win against the Knicks. And just to go over that comeback win against the Knicks, I have the number right here. 0 in 13,884. That's the number in the last 20 seasons where no NBA team had won after being down at least 9 points with 35 seconds or less remaining. Make that a 1 in 13,884. He managed to do that, and I can't even believe it.
Wow.
They were down 9 with 26 seconds to go. They win 126-121 in overtime.
Just incredible.
I think Dallas has a future superstar. He's the core of the team. And I think it's given a magic to where they can do a lot in the rest of the year. Just kind of looking at where they are now in the standings. And when you look at it out west, Dallas is a 7th seed. They're 19-16. They're in the play-in area, but I think they can do more. I think they have I think Phoenix is dropping. The Kings are staying still, but I think Dallas can move up to at least the top 6 by the end of the year. Memphis, Denver, and New Orleans right now are, I don't see them. New Orleans is going to stay in the top 3. Just they probably won't be number 1, but they'll be in the top 3, which I'm surprised I'm saying that. Mm-hmm. New Orleans is the top seed right now. And the Kings are in the top 6. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
But what can you kind of see what the future holds for Luka, and is he that franchise player for Dallas, and do you expect him to stay in Dallas?
Yeah. Just hitting on again what you said, that was just a virtuoso performance from Doncic. My friend always called him the badass honky, and I don't even know if you can call the guy a honky being from like a Cold War country, but he is something special. Just his, the way he looks like he plays in slow motion, but nobody can touch his game. Like, I'm looking at Julius Randle trying to stretch out and block his shot, and he just can't do it. Luka's throwing up that slow motion finger roll that kisses up high off glass. It really is poetry in motion. And going back to that game, the free throw to get it back and put it in, that's like a horse shot that he hit in an NBA game. It's kind of ridiculous.
The fact that nobody grabbed it. It was first tip, then the Knicks tried to grab it and tipped again.
Yeah.
Around, throws it up, falls down as he's throwing it up, and does what I can only appear as the happy dance.
You said it best.
Get it back, you know, in control.
It was awesome, man. It was really awesome. But going to your question, he is a superstar. He's one of the faces of the league right now. I think he definitely should stay in Dallas. I don't think there's a reason to leave Dallas. I think it's a good organization. They've got some good young players with him there. And he's just able to elevate other players too, because like you said, he had 10 dimes. You know, he's a great passer of the basketball, not just a great scorer. And he is, with his size, like 21 rebounds. You know, he's bulky. For people don't realize, when you try to guard that man, when he backs you down, like you're feeling it. You know, he's a big boy. And what he can do with like his pivot moves in the post, his pivot foot is just stupid. Fundamentals like Tim Duncan, but also the skill to come up with creative shots. I love to see him stay in Dallas. I think this Mavs team, like you said, 19-16, is pretty middling for what I think they're capable of. I expect them to make a run at the championship, and especially in the Western Conference. I think the West is probably, I don't know, this year they're both pretty strong, the West and the East, because you know Brooklyn's playing so well now in the C's, but it's going to be a dogfight in the West. But I think it's up for grabs. I think anybody can take it, really. So
absolutely, and time will tell what will happen in the rest of the West. and just moving on with the rest of the season, heading into the holiday break and close to the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And before we go, I just want to reflect on the year that has happened. Currently, the show has worked so hard. We've been trying to get back out there. We've been promoting TikTok. We've been promoting on a lot on Instagram, mainly on Instagram. We've gotten brands working on us. We have Boosted Biz and Kenichi Bear, and most recently, you know, Shop GLD. Like, we always try to promote everybody and everywhere. Over the course of this past year, we've had over 1,800 plays on all of our shows, and kind of reducing that number, you know, it gets to a decent average. I'd have to do the number in my head, but hopefully big things come for 2023. I think some of the goals that I want to see is just us continue to grow, and also just help athletes who are, you know, every athlete has a different story. Every, you know, student athlete, because it's different from, you know, for all of us and how we got to where we were and what we want to see moving forward, I think. And
yeah, you said it best, Tom, per usual, but I wanted to take a moment to shout out you and just the passion you bring, the zest for what you do. Not many people I know have that, and the people that do have it are successful people, and they just bring joy and enthusiasm and you know, love for what they do, and that affects the people around them. So what you're doing and what you continue to do, and like you said, sports, you know, that people that don't play sports, they'll never know, but the character you develop from playing sports, especially as you play at a higher level, how you deal with adversity, how you get back up when you fall down, that bleeds into everything you do in life. And that's why I think some of the most successful people in their jobs, if they're not professional athletes or something, that they have a background maybe in sports, because it's all about improvement, constant improvement. And it has that competitiveness. And I think competitiveness drives the world. Whether we like it or not, it's the best way to push yourself. Obviously, you're focused on yourself and improving yourself, but having people around you that you're competing against, that just, you know, it brings more out of you. So I'm very proud to be a part of the show, the few times that I have been, and it's always an ultimate pleasure to be here on with you. So thank you.
Thank you, man. And, you know, a lot to look forward to in 2023. We're going to continue to reach out to more people, try to get more out there if I have the time, go see people play, travel, and just hope for the best for the show and just hope to continue to thrive. But thanks again, Cotter, for taking the time to come on the show. And thank you guys for continuing to listen. Keep continuing to listen. Everyone have a safe and happy new year. I stress the urgency on being safe, especially, you know, if you're going out and if you're traveling, be safe too. A lot of hectic traveling right now. I think, Cotter, you have a flight to catch today.
Yes, sir, Tom. Yeah, headed off to Fort Lauderdale for a wedding. But yeah, I echo your sentiments, man. Be safe and enjoy the time with loved ones.
Yep. And guys, remember, don't be a bystander. Be a hooper and keep balling. Peace.